Hallelujah.
It's a brethren assembly, so don't worry. I do this wherever I go. And if they don't say anything, I know it's a brethren assembly. But if they respond, I know. If all respond, I know it's a charismatic church. And if some of them say, it's okay, they are changing. Brother Benjamin came and murmured something in my ear that I can go till 12:35. Oh, I am 71, so I have a problem hearing. I thought it was 12:35. No, I won't test your patience, okay? Thank you very much for that introduction. Since brother has shared so much, he and his family were involved with us from the beginning of the ministry. I won't take just very little. I will share about Accept Ministry. There's a newsletter that is here. You can pick one and read and pray for the ministry. For the last 25 years, God has kept us faithful in this ministry. Joyce and I, my three children, came here in 1995. That's 29 years back. I was born in a brethren home, third generation. Maybe that was my problem. And it took God some hard work in my life to turn me around. And when I was abroad, first in the Gulf countries and then in the U.S., U.S. was the place where I really learned more about the Lord personally, came closer to the Lord. A trip to Russia in 1992, when the Soviet Union collapsed and became Russia and other countries, I had an opportunity to go there with 317 of us in a trip to distribute Bibles in Russian language. And that was the turning point in my life that made me realize that we have one life here. There are so many who are hungry for the word of God, for the truth. When they were getting the first Bibles, I seen them crying, kissing the Bible. I thought, I have so many Bibles in my home, I don't have that kind of a hunger. Anyhow, the Lord began to speak to me and my family in 1995. We came here. We were in Bethesda for some time, and then, as brother said, we moved out to Vadrapali, Agara. And the Lord has helped us to have an assembly called Agape Christian Assembly. While I was there, I was visiting an organization nearby on the Hindu Road called Freedom Foundation, where de-addiction, people with drug alcohol problem, and I used to visit there. And they found out in those years that some of them were HIV positive. So they took a poultry farm, chicken shed, and converted it into a care center for people with HIV and AIDS. I began to go there, speak to them, talk to them, people from all over India. And I go there, and next week when I go there, the one I saw last week is dead, the dead body there when I go there. Like that, the Lord gave me a burden to minister to them. And I had a Jeep at that time. I'll take these patients, some of them who are willing to come, I'll take them to our assembly. And they hear songs, they hear message. And a few of them came to the Lord. And that's how. And then I opened my home for these patients. Patients used to come to our home, and some of them stay in our home, minister the word to them, take them to the doctor. And that's how it started. Now it's 25 years. We have cared for about 5,000 to 6,000 patients as inpatients. We have a 35-bed care center in Doddigubi. Brother and sister have helped us with the construction, designing of the building and all of that many years back, and I'm so thankful. And we have 10 board members now in this ministry from 7 assemblies in Bangalore. And you have two brethren from here, Dr. Jacob Matthew, recently 2 years back he joined, and also John Thiel, brother, as a consultant in the board member. And we are so thankful for their and your involvement in this assembly. We encourage you to come and volunteer. Young people, come and volunteer. What you see there, the life there, will probably impact your life to a greater extent than just within the walls of our assemblies, you know. The Lord, in the story of the Samaritan, and after telling about this man at the end, he said, go and do likewise. That's our calling, to go and do. There's a world that is waiting for the truth, who are lost and in darkness, and you and I have to reach out to those people. So thank you for inviting me. And as brother mentioned, my wife went to be with the Lord in November 10. And the 27th was the funeral. And 3 children and 5 grandchildren. At 71, I'm getting little old, and I would like to see someone else come and take over this ministry and do my responsibility. So pray for this, and if there's anyone here who would like to take this ministry and take it forward, and you're welcome to come forward. But it should be somebody with a commitment to serve and to go down to the people at their level, and God will definitely bless you. So this is a major prayer matter that God will raise a person to take over. I don't want to continue like that. I'll be behind that, but I want to see someone who take. We have a chapel service every day morning. All the people who they are here, the gospel. And later we started a HIV positive orphan children's home. And that continued for many years. Even now we have some, but that number is coming down. HIV infection also is coming down. Thank God for that. So we opened our ministry for anyone in need. So we have HIV positive and negative people staying in the same room. And we were instrumental in taking away that stigma. And we were the first assembly that welcomed HIV patients, as far as I know. And many people have come to the Lord. Many have died with that hope and gone to be with the Lord. Every day they hear the word of God. And a few may not be interested, but others, even those who are not interested, by our behavior, our love that we show, God's love, eventually they come to the Lord, or they have interest. When they go, when they get discharged, we give them Bibles. And so please continue to pray for this ministry, okay? That's all I want to share about. The newsletter explains more about it. You're welcome to take a copy and pray for this one matter that I mentioned, okay? It's an assembly ministry by seven assembly board members from seven assemblies. Please continue to pray for that. More important is the word of God, isn't it? So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 to 4. 1 Samuel chapter 13, 1 to 4. I want to talk about a person by name, Jonathan. Is there anybody here by name Jonathan? No. Okay. You all know about Jonathan, right? Jonathan and David. Okay. Very nice character, isn't it? Their love was so intimate. Let's read chapter 13. Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years over Israel. Now Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, of which 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, while 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah of Benjamin. But he sent away the rest of the people, each to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. The Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." First time we meet Jonathan, he was a young man who with 1,000 men, he has done great things. He was a great warrior, a young man. Okay, so that is what the first picture we see about. And his father, King Saul, had 3,000 people with him. But Jonathan is the one who brought the victory over the Philistines, but the credit Saul took. He wanted to blow a trumpet, you know. A lot of people like that. They wanted to blow the trumpet, but Jonathan quietly did great things. So my time is very limited, so let me quickly go to the second passage. Chapter 14, verse 45. Chapter 14, verse 45. But the people said to Saul, "Must Jonathan die, who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Far from it, as the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day." Now, if you know the background of that chapter, Saul did a foolish oath, and that brought his son Jonathan almost close to death because of King Saul's foolish oath. But the people stood with Jonathan. He said, not a hair of his will. Paul. So he was a man who was approved by the people, had a good testimony. He knew what a great man he was. So the people stood with him when Saul said, "Let him die." What a father, isn't it? Now look at chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. What a sacrifice, isn't it? Jonathan stripped himself all the things that belonged to the prince who was supposed to be the next king. He gave it to David because he loved him as his own soul. A great man, isn't it? Okay, but the story is not over. And in chapter 12, there are so many verses, you can study it because of the time I'm jumping, okay? Chapter 23, verse 17 and 18. 23, verse 17 and 18. Then he said to him, "Do not be afraid." That is Jonathan telling to David, "Because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you." And Saul, my father, knows that also. Here is a man who knew that David was an anointed of the Lord. He will be king one day, no matter what's happening now. He said, "You will be the king, and I will be next to you." What a desire, isn't it? He had confidence in God's promise, God's calling in David's life, and his desire was to be next to him. What a brother, what a friend, isn't it? The love that friends have or brothers have is called filial love, isn't it? Philadelphia, filio. Great, that is very great. But now turn to the second, the end part of Jonathan's life. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 1 and 2. Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, the son of Saul. The battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. And we read there that Saul and his sons were killed, including Jonathan. Okay? Now, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. When David heard this news of the death of Jonathan, 19, "Your beauty, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How have the mighty fallen?" Verse 25, "How have the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan is slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan." Verse 26, "You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. How have the mighty fallen?" Three times in these verses, David weeping, lamenting, and saying, "How have the mighty fallen?" Now, what happened to a man like this, a warrior? Many times he helped David from his father's intention to kill him. He was kind of a mediator between Saul and David. Many a times he delivered him from the hand of his father Saul. Such a great man, great love. He stripped his clothes, robe, armor, everything, and gave. You know, today people are not willing to give up, you know, what they have. Even church elders are very hesitant to step down, you know. They want to hold on till the last breath, you know. In such a world, here is a man who is willing to give everything over. He don't want anything. He knew that David is the anointed of the Lord. But the question is, why he had an end like that? Why he had an end like that, a man like this? I wanted to quickly say two things. One, if you think you stand, let take heed lest you fall. That's the first lesson for us. We have to be very careful that we walk very carefully lest we fall. That is one thing. Now the second reason, or the most important reason why this happened to Jonathan, we can find from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? "You cannot serve two masters." In Matthew and Luke, I'm not taking the verses, said, "You cannot serve two masters." Not that it is difficult, it's impossible. It's not possible. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. You cannot have two masters. This man, Jonathan, being such a warrior, such a committed man who loved him, he gave everything to David. And in Proverbs, we have a verse that says, son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. God is not looking for our sword and our robe and all of that. God is looking for our heart. If you give your heart to God, you have given everything. If you have not given your heart to God and you have given everything else, it doesn't really matter. What happened to Jonathan? Many a times we see when his father Saul was chasing David. He was in the caves. He was in the wilderness. He was in the woods. And you know, we read about, because of the time I'm not explaining, you can go and look at it. Some people came to David when he was wandering. There were nobodies, isn't it? Yeah. People who were broken, people who were in debt, people who were nobodies in the world, they joined with David. And at the end of 2 Samuel, we have a chapter that talks about the mighty men of David. These nobodies, David changed them to mighty men. Their names are all given there. You know, when you read that list, there's one sad thing. One name is missing. Yeah, Uriah is there. That's good. But one name is missing. Whose name was that? Jonathan. He should have been riding along with John, I mean, with David. Because that was his desire. I want to be next to you. You will be the king and I will be next to you. Having a desire is very good. Remember Balaam? What was his desire? Anybody know? Balaam and Balak, you know, in Numbers, the story? God has taken 3-4 chapters to tell. Very important character. He said, I want to die like the righteous. I want to die like the righteous. But how did he die? Israelites slew him with the sword. His desire was that I want to die like godly people. You want to die like a godly person, you have to live like a godly person, right? Sunday school teacher was teaching about rich man and Lazarus. You might have heard this. So the story about rich man and Lazarus. At the end, the teacher asked you, who do you would like to be? Like, there was, all the children said like Lazarus. But one smart boy said, here like rich man, there like Lazarus. Here I want to be like the rich man, there like, no, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. Jonathan, why have the mighty fallen? Why have the mighty fallen? You go through this 1 Samuel end and 2 Samuel end. Excuse me, if you read that, you know, Jonathan came with David and made a covenant, not one or two or three times he made covenant. He knew what was going to happen. Knowledge is good. But knowledge without action will not help you. We read many verses, we read. Jonathan went with David, helped him, told him, encouraged him. Then we read, he went back to his home. To where? The palace. He went back to his home. Where did David go? To the wilderness, to the caves. Yeah, he gave him his robe and his armor, his sword, everything. That's not. See, with one stone he killed Goliath, David, right? So he's not in need of all this armor and everything. What he needed is commitment. He was not willing to go with him. Because he was torn between the two masters. Who was that? Saul and David. The knowledge is David will be the king. My father knows that. Great. But comforts, how can we let it go, right? David went to the woods, went to the cave, to the wilderness, and Jonathan went to his home. When the final decision came, he couldn't. So Jesus is telling you cannot serve two masters. That's a lesson for you and I today. I'll close at my right time, okay? My friends, my brothers and sisters, giving things for the ministry is not the main thing. God is not a short of money. You see? It's a cattle on a thousand hill. The gold and silver is mine, he said. 25 years we've been running this ministry. Only recently, because some building construction, some need, we have made it known through the newsletter. Otherwise, 25 years we looked to God. We never wrote to anybody for money. And God was so faithful in helping us. Amazing stories, I can tell you. I heard about George Mueller. I'm nowhere near him. But George Mueller's God is still living. I can see times when we were short of 90,000 rupees to pay the salary for the staff. Within few days, almost that much amount has come. Not one or two times. I can tell you so many times. God has proved himself faithful, faithful, faithful again and again. This is our God. David is not looking for some armor. You know, Saul gave him, you know, right when he went against, he was going to go against Goliath. He put all that. He said, I'm not used to this. I'll take this some stone from the stream. With that, he killed Goliath. What does David require? David required this men to go with him. That's full commitment. These nobodies joined him. Finally, they became David's mighty men. Jonathan, you should have been with him, with them. You should have been the first name there. He missed it because of the stone between two. His relationship with Saul was blood relationship, isn't it? Saul was his father. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to hate your father. You know that means it's not literally hating. Supreme love for the Lord. Where are our hearts? Where are our... Has more comforts come in? Our spiritual life normally declines. You cannot serve two masters. God is looking for total commitment. I'm not saying that I am that. I have a desire, but I'm far away from there. My dear brothers and sisters, young people, many of you, check your commitment. My son, give me your heart. If you give the heart, you are given everything. If you're given not the heart, you're given your money, you're given everything, you are involved in missions, ministry, everything, you can do that. But if your heart is not there, this is what could happen. How have the mighty fallen? May that not happen to any one of us as we go in our pilgrim journey. There was a time when we were deciding to leave US and come. The corporation that I was working for asked me, you were just about to get a promotion, then why are you leaving now? Go to India after all with these three children, 13, 11 and 9. Our own assembly elders asked, what will happen? Who will take care of them if you go back to India? And I had to tell our assembly elders in America that if God gave me the children, he is able to take care of them. This 29 years, God has never failed. Never failed. Never failed. He's faithful if you give yourself to him. My son, give me your heart. How the mighty fallen. What a great man, Jonathan. He loved David like his own soul. Great love, great sacrifice, great everything. But at the end, he missed it out. A lot of people who started well ended wrong. May that never happen to you and I. Make sure your commitment goes on like Saul, Paul, Apostle Paul, I have finished the race. I have fought the fight. At the end, there is a crown kept for me. Not only for me, but everyone who love is appearing. May God help you. Thank you for the opportunity. May his name be glorified.